It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on yet another in a long string of beautiful Saturdays here in the studio, live and well, ready to take phone calls, answer questions, and just fill you full of all kinds of interesting things that are going on right now. There's never a lack of news these days, it seems.
No, definitely not.
Things are moving faster than ever, if anything. And we'll try to keep you up with it and see if we can all take advantage of it. It's a little confusing out there right now, and we're going to try to straighten out a little of it and see if we can figure out what the heck's going on. There's about equal amounts of good and bad and indifferent. So you got to kind of work your way through and see what to expect soon. So if you've got questions, just pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255, and we'll put you right on to ask them. For all the regulars, thanks for always being here. Welcome back again. And if you're new to the show by accident or someone told you, whatever, try to stick around for the hour, and I'll promise you little in life, but I will promise you you'll learn something in the course of an hour. Whether or not it'll do you any good, that's another story, but hey, you can't know enough about enough, I say. I've got a million expressions after all the years I've been around. One of them is, I think the most interesting people out there know a lot about a little and a little about a lot. So they can talk about many, many subjects with some kind of an understanding. Hopefully you'll pick up a few of those along the way here. Well, another week of mostly gains in the market. The Dow struggled a little bit, but it was a week of records, and we set lots of records.
Yeah, and yet the feeling, it just didn't feel that great.
No, it didn't.
There's how things feel and how things are, and sometimes they match up, and this week they didn't.
Yeah, like 5 negative days on the Dow out of 5.
Yeah.
And it only lost 0.5%.
Right. It wasn't that bad.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is weird. And then the NASDAQ went the complete opposite direction and had a great week. So it's hard to figure out right now, but there's some trends that have been in place for a little while, and they're not good trends. The gains have been largely driven by mega cap tech stocks, namely Apple and NVIDIA, and really not much else. Just to give you an example, the S&P is up 3% in the second quarter, but the average stock in the S&P is down 4.3% in the second quarter. So how does that make any sense? This is just all due to the lofty valuations on large cap tech stocks. There are now 3 stocks whose valuations are larger than the entire small cap Russell 2000 index. Just to give you a benchmark, that index has a market cap of $2.99 billion currently. Apple, Microsoft, and NVIDIA are all valued at over $3 trillion.
Yeah.
So some pretty big disparity there. Now, it really wouldn't take much of a rally in the Russell to surpass all of those. But the thing is, the Russell hasn't rallied, and it really hasn't rallied for quite some time.
Every time it tries, it keeps getting beaten back.
It does. So as you may have guessed, technology has been the best performing sector of the market so far in June, with a month gain of 8%, actually over 8%. The next closest is healthcare, with a gain of just 1.4%. So pretty wide disparity there between the best and the second best. But when you look at the worst performing sector, which is energy, that's a loss of 5.6%. So the spread just in the last couple of weeks is 13.6% between the high and low performer. It's not been a great month for international stocks either, with the all world except U.S. index down 1.4%. Mexico has been the worst performer, down over 14% on recent election results.
As we said last week, that's what happens when you elect the clone of the socialist.
Well, it wasn't really that. It was that they did that and gave a supermajority to their house or to Congress, basically. Yep. And that means that they can change their constitution Yeah, it's too much power for one party. That's why it wasn't.
They're just jealous of California.
their market had actually done quite well under the last socialist. So it really, I don't think that was it. Europe hasn't fared much better recently. France is down 7.5% in June, Italy down 7%, and Spain down 5.7%. One of the few bright spots has been India with a gain of 3.7%. And then emerging markets have also fared pretty well with a gain of 1.6%. That has not been driven by China or Hong Kong, though, which are down 1.2% and 4.1% respectively. So the gains are not coming from China. China has been an absolute mess, and their stock market has been pretty terrible. It did see a bit of a rally earlier this year, but overall just not good. Well, the overall commodities index is down in June. Some individual commodities are doing quite well. Natural gas, which was in basically in a free fall up until recently, is up 13.3% in June and 37% this quarter. Despite that rise in the second quarter, it's still down over 1% this year, which kind of tells you how bad it was prior to the second quarter. Despite the energy sector performing poorly in June, oil is actually up 2%, which that doesn't usually happen. Usually when energy prices or oil prices go up, you see the energy stocks do well. That is not happening right now.
Yeah, I think there's just so much uncertainty out there that nobody knows for sure.
Agreed. Are we headed towards a global recession slowdown or not? I don't know, but that's probably why that the energy sector is not doing well.
Well, you hear about Saudi Arabia and OPEC, they said, no, we're not increasing production. So you'd think right there, prices are probably going up. But then the next day I read an article about the surpluses, the inventories are higher than in a long time.
And if Trump gets elected, he's already on record as saying drill, baby, drill. And that is not going to be good for energy companies, despite it's kind of counterintuitive, but they'll probably sell more at lower prices, which will be less profitable.
At a time like that, when our production is going to rise, I would much rather be tied to the oil and gas market in a way that doesn't matter about the price, meaning things like pipelines and delivery systems.
Mm-hmm.
And those businesses ought to really prosper if he gets back in.
Well, we might be able to actually build a pipeline if he gets back in.
There's that.
Yeah. Agricultural commodities are also up 2.3% in June and 24% this year. That's not great news for prices at grocery stores and restaurants, although they really haven't been passing those increases on to the consumer. And I have some evidence of that, but we'll have to do it after the break.
Because food inflation is actually one of the strong components right now relative to a bunch of things.
Meaning it's not going up.
Yeah. I've got a cute little thing in here that I'll do right after the break that kind of tells the story. I'm sure you get into the inflation numbers right after the break, but there was a mixed bag in those things too. It's as we've been saying for so long, it's just confusing out there.
It is.
So we'll do what we can to enlighten you up a little bit more right after a quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. We're talking about the imbalance and the big caps, the big stocks, and how strong they are, and the littler stocks that aren't doing very much. The S&P 500 index, which is our favorite measurement of the broader stock market, the normal index itself is cap-weighted, capitalization weighted. In other words, the bigger the company, the more weight they pull in the index. There is a secondary S&P 500 called the equal-weighted index, and it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep.
They all have the same exposure.
1/500th of the index is made up of every stock. It's right. It trades under RSP if you're looking for it.
The regular index, the traditional cap-weighted index, in the last 10 days has been up 7 times. How many times has the equal-weight S&P 500 been up over those same 10 days? Obviously, it is a number between 0 and 10. So I gave you a bracket because I'm in a good mood this week.
Okay.
Real easy. 904-222-8255 to reach us. All right. Also in the market?
Yeah, the Fed. They met this week.
Yep.
And it went more or less as expected.
Well, they did what they said they would, and they did what everybody knew they would.
And so Powell took a decidedly more dovish tone, yes. though, and he definitely put one, if not two, rate cuts on the table for this year.
You know that since 1994, he is the Fed chairman with the worst market reaction to when he opens his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that unbelievable? You know why, don't you?
No.
I bet you could get this one if you thought about it. Because he speaks English instead of Fed.
Perhaps.
Somebody get that boy the one of those.
The Fed speak translator.
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
How to do Fed speak.
It's. So the reaction to this was we did see some volatility, as we always do, but it wasn't terrible. Not surprisingly, the bond market took that news pretty favorably. It posted a 1.4% gain for the week. Mm-hmm. That news was also supported by two inflation reports that came out, the CPI and PPI, and they were both better than expected. So normally... Well, inflation's tricky because sometimes they say better is if you beat on a report, it's higher.
Right.
But in this case, I'm going to say that missing the report is better because we need inflation to come down. So the CPI report showed that it showed the lowest monthly inflation in almost 3 years. The lone stubborn spot was rents, which are hovering around 6% annualized inflation. This is not too surprising that it's the stickiest part of inflation because most housing contracts, most rental contracts are for a year or more. So I really wasn't shocked to see that. And the Fed has already acknowledged that they are going to somewhat discount rents because of that same fact. So
yeah, it's a lagging indicator.
It is. It definitely is. The core CPI has now been below 2% for 10 months in a row. And the core CPI without rents actually dropped this month. That's the first time that's happened in a long time.
I drew a conclusion from all that.
What's that?
It is a great time in America for a kid to live in his parents' basement.
That's about all they can afford these days.
That's exactly right.
It's so expensive out there. PPI, which is the producer price index, also came in below expectations this month. The headline number actually went down 0.2% versus an expected increase of 0.1%. Despite the increase in agricultural commodities that I mentioned earlier, the report showed that food prices have been basically flat since 2022, which is interesting. It doesn't feel that way.
No, it doesn't.
But yeah, I do notice that prices are not going up between visits to the grocery store like they were, but they're still really high.
It's still scarier when you look
at
it. Yeah,
like the price of everything is super high, and that's why it feels bad. It's not because it's jumping by 10% a week like it was 2 years ago. And that's what I had.
All right. Well, I kind of agree with all of that. It's just such a tough time. I know we dwell on this because it's so difficult. We look at our jobs like we're supposed to try to do our very best to figure out what's actually going on and maybe even have a little forward vision of what the market is and the economy is. And it's just so confusing out there. It's very difficult to draw any hardcore conclusions from everything that we know, but it's not for lack of trying, and we will not ever stop trying. All right, I got a few little goodies here. Despite all odds, this week it occurred in the news that Bill Gates grew a brain.
Okay.
I know. I'm glad you were all sitting down at the time. This might have been tough to take. But he is now proponent of, and that probably means really heavily invested in, the new technology for small nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, for those of you who are, been around a lot and have grown up in the industrial age, you might remember what Nucor did to the steel-making industry. The steel-making industry always, it started out in places like Chicago and Gary, Indiana, Pittsburgh, and so on, because they had to have access to the Great Lakes for iron ore and transportation, and the furnaces were gigantic, the old Bessemer furnaces. They made batches of steel literally by the batch. They cooked it. And then Nucor came along and invented the technology of the mini mill. The the major difference in the way it was produced was the number one input to the Nucor steel was scrap metal. Well, you can get scrap metal anywhere. In fact, the further south you go, the quicker the metal scraps. So they started showing up in places like Birmingham, Alabama, and they literally diversified the steelmaking industry all over the country and eventually all over the world. Well, the same is happening right now in the nuclear power industry. They have a technology now where you can make a small reactor near an area that needs more power. And part of the reason this is being done is because the new data centers are really, really power hungry. And there are a lot of areas whose grid cannot sustain this. Gates knows this because he's very involved in things like that, you know, those power hungry computer centers. So he now has come across and is actually a proponent of a company called TerraPower. And he did co-found the company to invest in nuclear investment. So once again, I have to say that wealth begets wealth. Mm-hmm. I think you'll become nothing but more wealthy. But what it's going to do for the industry is take a lot of strain off of the already overburdened supply on the regular traditional routes. And it's a very good thing. And the other, maybe even the most interesting part of this, I found, is that it doesn't require a huge water supply, which has always been one of the problems with the nuclear industry, because they're small enough, they're cooled by liquid sodium. And my first response and my wife's response at the same time was, what's that?
Never heard of it.
I hadn't either. But if you heat sodium enough, it actually turns into a liquid and has very good heat dispersion properties. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So apparently, if you keep it within a certain temperature range, these nuke plants don't have to draw a constant flow of water and output it to wherever it is. They can just use it kind of like a heat transfer process, apparently. And I thought, that is really brilliant. The limited inputs and the lack of water and the geographic location where you don't have to transmit it a lot. You know, I've been advocating for nuclear power for decades anyway. And France is way ahead of the game. Strangely enough, being in Europe,
yeah,
they have many plants under construction.
Germany
right now.
Just shut them down.
They shut them down.
And
they shut down their coal, then they shut down their nukes, and then they reopen coal because they shut down their nukes.
Right. Good. Way to go. Yes. Nice work. Now,
they're kind of widely known to be the best engineers money can buy, or for decades they were. You'll never figure that one out. Anyway, I would like to actually compliment Bill Gates, because I think what he's doing is very important if we're going to keep doing the kinds of things we're doing out there with the switch toward electric cars, which I assume will not be mandated pretty soon. But if you want one, get one.
Sure.
The more choices, the better. It keeps everybody honest. So anyway, welcome to the fight, Mr. Gates. Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, he's not the only one. Governor Newsom of California actually is fighting to keep open their last nuclear plant that supplies up to 9% of their daily energy. And the legislature wants to shut it down by next year. And so he's actually on the right side of an issue for once.
Yeah, even a blind pig finds an acorn once in a while.
Seriously.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting because he has had so much negative press lately, Gates, and he's deserved every bit of it, in my opinion. I don't want anybody buying up our farmland only to take it out of production and just stupid things like that. I've got a list I want to read to everybody as soon as we get back and show you that you and I are not alone out there in our opinions about this stuff. Apparently, it's going around. People have sort of had it. They've been fed up with all the stuff being shoved at us, and I'll show you how they're reacting right after this break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Benway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And a reminder that our lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is out there. 7 of the last 10 trading days, we have seen increases in the traditional S&P 500 index. On those same 10 days, how many times has the equal weighted S&P 500 index been up? It's between 0 and 10, and that's all you're going to get from me. Okay, here's some things that are happening out there that are sort of the sign of the times, I call it. BlackRock, you all know BlackRock, right? We love to hate BlackRock company because they kind of have a lot of things that we don't like about them, although they have a lot of things that people still use, and they're valuable to have around. And actually, aren't they moving to Texas or Florida or something like
that? Well, they were involved in that stock exchange that was announced last week.
Oh, that's right.
To open in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew there was something
sort of an anti-woke stock exchange where...
Yeah, these were about the wokest people out there doing what they do.
Sort of weird.
Well, as of Monday, there's a few exchange-traded funds that are shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Virtual Work. It's a sign of the times.
Yep.
Because more and more people are going back to the office. Life Multi-Sector Exchange-Traded Fund. Not really quite sure what that's all about, but we have a few others. WFH from, how do you pronounce it? Direxion,
yeah. Said
it. It hit $100 million out of the gate. It shrunk $25 million and has meaningful outflows. Bloomberg's data showed that about $4 billion out of the thematic ETFs have happened in 23. BlackRock is also closing Liquid Environmentally Aware Fund, Sustainable Advantage Core Alpha Bond Fund, Sustainable International Equity Fund, Sustainable Low Duration Bond Fund, Sustainable U.S. Growth Equity Fund, Future Climate and Sustainable Economy.
Well, it's weird. Better, isn't it? It's almost like sustainable isn't a good way to choose an investment.
Can't sustain the ETF.
Huh. Who would have thunk?
Wealth Liquid, Environmentally Aware. Okay. Anyway, the outflows in the first quarter, $8.8 billion.
There has been a big shift away from thematic ETFs recently. They just haven't panned out like they were meant to. The problem is, I think that when they go in, they pick a bunch of stocks that are related to whatever the theme is, but those stocks don't all necessarily perform very well, and therefore they don't have a huge basket of stocks. So if they pick a couple of dogs that are especially larger cap size dogs, the ETF won't match the performance of the better performers in the industry.
I relate it directly to what happened with the clean energy funds when Biden was inaugurated. Mm-hmm. And most of us thought, hey, let's jump in and take
a no-brainer, right?
They did nothing but go down.
Nope.
It was very strange. The lesson here is the same lesson that we get so often, which is diversification wins. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Excellent. You?
Just fine. I'm out here at the Sea Island Golf Course. I'm a caddy up here. I'm waiting for a loop. And what a great job. I get paid to watch people play golf.
Nice.
That's outstanding.
And I don't play anymore because the game's too frustrating. I get to watch other people get frustrated.
I quit in 06 for the dual reason. My arthritis was kicking in, and my game was going straight down, and it was more frustrating than ever. So
it is. You know, my dad taught me how to play golf, and I wish he would have taught me how to drink and smoke instead. I'd been a lot better off.
I taught my dad to play golf, and he taught me those things.
Oh, okay.
He didn't last long, though. He died young.
No, huh? But I got my hole in one, and then 3 months later, I broke 80 for the first time in 10 years, and I walked off the 18th green, and I told the guys that was my last round of golf, and I've never picked up
that's it,
since.
That's hilarious.
Over 5 years now.
Yeah, so, I got to retire with one ace under my belt too. It was a long, long time ago.
There you but go.
At least I could check the box before I walked.
I've never done it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You got to hit the ball in the right direction, and you got to hit it about the right distance. After that, it's dumb luck.
Yeah.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right. I can't tell you how close I came. And you'd always think if I'd only teed up 4 inches more to the left, I would have probably gone in the hole.
I got one quick one for you. How about hitting the pin and bouncing back about a foot on a par four?
What?
I did that.
Oh, my gosh.
The same course where I got the hole in one, actually.
It crazy.
During college. If that had gone in, I'd have one of those 10,000 to one double eagles and a hole in one.
Double eagle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've always regretted the bounce back on that one. The wind was in the wrong direction, I guess.
Well, the important thing is, did you make the putt?
Oh, yes. That happened.
I'd probably two-putt from there and make birdie.
Well, I could get into my putting game in my later years, but you wouldn't want to hear it. So what's happening?
I got 2 points. I don't know if we have time, but I'm going to try for my first one, the most important. I bought a put on Tesla, and it expires on July the 5th. And if Tesla is below the put that I bought, how do I do that? I mean, I've always just sold the put on the last day. And what does that entitle me to do? And do I have to do something on Friday? Or can I wait till Monday to buy the shares at the lower price? I'm not quite sure how that works.
You know, it's been so long since I was involved in the options game. I don't feel qualified to say it. I see Adam typing away.
I'm just checking the price of Tesla. I'm not sure where it is.
I tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's about 178, and I got to put it 175, but I've got, you know, 4 weeks.
I mean, it's...
Well, 3 weeks at least, anyway.
Right, yeah.
And in the past, I've done quite well, actually. Every time Tesla goes up 5%, I go ahead and buy a put because I know it's coming right back down.
Yeah, it's not. It's a pretty ugly chart right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
I was always involved when I was doing this, which was in the 90s. Just to tell you how long it's been, I was only involved on the call side, and I never did any puts. And I understand what they are and all that, but the actual mechanics, I think you got to exercise it somehow. But the question is when.
Well, you can do it at any time, really.
You don't want to do it now.
No.
It's three to the...
You want to wait till it's in the money.
Three to the bed.
So a put is just the right to sell a stock at a certain price to whoever sold the put. And so if the stock price is below that, you would exercise the option on your whatever platform you're using, and then you'd go and buy a share at the market price, and your profit would be whatever the difference between those two numbers was.
Yeah, and that probably, I would think, on the witching day, wouldn't you?
I guess you would do it at whatever point you feel is the low.
Yeah, that's true. There's no reason you wouldn't have market control over that. So if you found a day when it was really bad, you just exercise and cover right away, and you should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it hit 170 and you felt good about it and you were making enough money on it, I would pull the trigger.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you really felt that Tesla was going to slide further.
Okay.
I don't know how to predict Tesla either.
I know. That's a tough game.
That 56 or whatever it was, $1 billion pay package went through. Now the judge in Delaware is saying, you're not through until you're through me. And at the same time, that all passed. So did his incorporation to move from Delaware to Texas. So I don't care what you try to do to Musk. He's got one more trick up his sleeve than you do.
So what do you think about that, Ron? I mean, are you inclined to wait till the last day? Or are you thinking that if it hits a certain price, that would be when you pull the trigger?
I usually wait till the last day.
Yeah.
Because I find that a lot of people are bailing out, especially on Fridays. And I know this is just me talking, but it seems like Fridays tend to be down days anyway.
That's typical lately.
I always wait till like at least 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. And then I end up, usually I sell the put instead of exercising it.
Oh,
okay.
Because I don't know how to exercise it, and I'm not really sure I want to own 100 shares of Tesla anyway.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily, because you would sell those shares and then buy them at the same time on the open market.
Yeah.
So your net would be that you don't own the shares.
Yeah, simultaneous transaction, buy and sell.
Oh, okay.
You already got the put money.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you got your money up front.
Right. So,
I got you. Okay.
And that's probably going to net you a little bit more money than selling the put, because whoever is buying the put is just going to do the same thing. They're going to exercise.
That's true too.
Yep.
Instantly.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. I lose a few dollars when I sell the put because they're not offering me what it would be dollar per dollar.
Right. Exactly. Because they need to make money on that trade too.
Yep.
Right. And then I have to sell it at the bid, which is not the same as the ask. So.
Exactly.
But that's good. I'm glad I called. I'm going to give that a shot.
Glad
hopefully
you did too.
It goes down.
Yeah. Call your brokerage and just tell them what you want to do. They usually have a trading desk that can assist you, and they're pretty helpful in my experience. So
I'm with Charles Schwab. Those guys are amazing.
Yeah, they're really good. We use them as well.
Yep. Cool. Well, what was point two?
So, hey, real quick, I hear the music. I want to tell you. These people that are moaning about mortgage rates being over 7%. I bought my first house in 1980 at 11.25%, and my buddy bought his in 81, and he paid 19%.
Yep.
And we didn't have any problem with that. I don't understand what the big deal is at 7%. So that's
prices were slightly different back then.
Were wages, though.
It's the double. That's true.
Yeah, well, so were wages. It took
double
me three
whammy.
Paychecks to You're pay my mortgage.
Absolutely right.
So.
All right, do you want to take
anyway,
it?
I enjoy your show every week, guys. Have a great day, and happy Father's Day.
All right, Ron. Thank you. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you for all your help.
Thank you. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question is still out there. 7 of the last 10 trading days saw the S&P 500 go up. But the equal weighted S&P 500 was, I'm going to make it easier for you now, it didn't do as well. How many days was it up? Now the bracket's only 0 to 7. So how's that? Practically giving it away.
Yeah. For those of you that that remember, I was in California recently, and I was very pleasantly surprised to find that In-N-Out Burger was quite a deal. And it wasn't very expensive. It had seemingly hadn't been hit by inflation. Well, that changed. This week, they announced price hikes in California due to the rule that raised the minimum wage within fast food restaurants to $20 an hour. So, we praised Governor Newsom for his taking the right stance on the nuclear plant earlier, and now I'm going to say nice job on this one.
Yeah, beautiful. He's helping out the people. 10,000 got laid off in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah.
Good job.
Who are you really for? I don't know. I got to give a little shout-out to Simone Lee. Ever heard that name?
No.
There is no way on God's green earth that her name would ever come up here with you or me or anybody else except... She recently had a very unusual thing happen to her. She is a first-generation American, and as she describes herself as a woman of color. She's 31. She has a young child. And her mother was a financial advisor, and she's been working with her mother for a while. She just became CFP number,
100,000.
That was it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Number 100,000, and I bring this up because I have been touting people looking at this line of work. We need much more, the 100,000. Many, many of them are retiring, and more people want them, and I've got a related story coming up right after this. She failed her test the first time, so she had to buckle down and get more discipline, especially
being
a young mother.
Which is not unusual, by the way. That is a very hard test.
It is a very hard test.
Many people fail once before passing.
And some of those people get discouraged and don't go back.
That is true.
You have to just figure out what it takes to go from where you are to what it takes. But once they've got it, assuming you play by the rules, nobody will take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very proud of her. So if a young person, no matter who it is or what they look like, if you like money, people, math, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah,
it's a it really great
is.
Job.
And it is not your father's stockbroker type of job at
no,
all. It has nothing to do with that, in fact. It's the reason I didn't go into this business earlier was because the evolution of the industry has made it so much more attractive. When I first interviewed for this in the, oh gosh, the late, the early 2000s, it was for American Express, and they wanted me to sit in a room and call my friends and family and sell them products. And I said, no way, not a chance.
Yep.
But that is not what the industry looks like today.
Back around the same time, 2001, I got my CFP in 2001. I had a job like that for 7 days and walked out. Good morning, Greg.
Hello.
Greg, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Wonderful. What's cooking?
Good. I just wanted to take a stab at the trivia question.
Sure, shoot.
You said it was between 1 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
How about 2?
That's a real good guess, but it's too low.
Too
sorry,
low.
Sorry about that. I didn't put a bracket on this because the answers are so limited, so you have to nail it, and you're too low.
Right. Okay, so now it's between 2 and 7.
Yeah, there you got it. So you're helping everybody. It's like horseshoes,
right,
darts, and tiddlywinks.
The next caller.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one. Yeah, he's right. We got there. All right. One of the reasons that I keep suggesting to people that this is a really good line of work, aside from the fact that it's so much fun and you meet the nicest people and on, you can make a fine living, and it's air conditioned in your office. If you live down here, that's important. But
well, theoretically, it is at our old office. It wasn't.
Yeah. It's only air conditioned if the thermostat gets set low enough. So that's part of the control you need if you take a job or start a company. Very recent here, it is a May of 2024 article. Most Americans lack confidence in managing inheritance alone. Well, yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do.
It falls into that category of sudden wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Sudden wealth doesn't have to mean you won the lottery. It can mean you took a job that pays way more than you ever have before. It can be that you inherit money. It can be any number of things.
It doesn't even have to make you wealthy. It can
No.
just be more money than you've ever had.
Exactly right. $100,000 to some people is life-changing, life-altering, and frankly, some people can't handle that, and other times it's more. That's why there's a constant stream of people that you would look for as clients. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning. How are you folks doing today?
Excellent. You?
Oh, hot, like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Just like the beach out here, except there's no water.
Yeah, well, you know, it's strange. In South Florida, they're wading through water knee-deep.
Yeah.
Our yards are blowing away.
Yeah, I was hoping they would kind of stall and maybe drift a little north, but
yeah,
that never happens.
So. We need it so desperately.
I've had several friends reach out from other parts of the country and ask if we're okay.
Yeah.
We're in a drought, but
Sarah's
we're fine.
Sister called. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
When they talk
would
about
be.
Us getting rain, it's slim and none. That's
yeah.
what we get. So.
No kidding.
Hey, I just wanted to do a quick trivia here before the time goes away.
Sure.
I'll shoot for a number 4.
Well, I would say that's a really good guess, but you're too high.
Oh, geez.
Well, I know who the next. Yeah. I know who the winner is.
Yeah. Lines are open. 2-2-2. Oh, that's
all
funny.
Right. Hey, I'll let you guys go. Somebody else can call in. Okay.
Thanks, Leroy. Have a good one.
All right. Take good care. Take care. Bye.
Bye. All right. Any of you entrepreneurs out there, it's time to get on the phone if you've been listening. Anyway, the concept of sudden wealth is kind of a big thing, and if you can't handle it, and you know you can't handle it, what should you do? We have I tell you folks this all the time. We have a million expressions from all the years we've been doing this. And one of my favorites is that it is never acceptable to plan on an inheritance as your sole retirement plan, because your parents and others have this nasty habit when they get older of spending a lot of money. Sometimes it's on medical things. We've seen some where a second marriage didn't go exactly as the kids planned and things like that. But if you are getting one, then it is also unacceptable not to plan for it. In other words, know what you're going to do when this money comes in. And it's amazing to me in this article, America's pretty sane out there, according to this, at least the ones willing to answer the survey. Here's a little breakdown of how people would plan to use their inheritance if they got one. Invest it 60%.
Good job.
I think that number's way higher than I would have expected. Mm-hmm. Pay off debt 51%.
That's
good going, America. Now, it gets a little more dubious here, although there's some reasons for this. Buy a new car, 36%.
Yeah, I mean,
if you absolutely have to and you couldn't, and now you can.
Maybe.
Yeah, and even then, new isn't always the way. Start a new business, 34%.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, me too. Entrepreneurs are alive and well. Pay for a relative's education, 33%.
Huh. Well, if you don't need the money, that is a good use for it.
It's a wonderful use. Travel, 26%.
Yeah, I love to travel, so I can't speak ill of that one.
And what I've always used as a rule of thumb, when you inherit a significant amount of money and you have a little more than you would absolutely need to just survive, we say take 10% off the top and go have fun.
Sure.
Have the other 90% planned and invested, preferably using a professional advisor. And the last but not least, buy a vacation home, 20%.
So that one is not bad, because you're buying an asset that appreciates in value. Yeah. It, as long as you use it, and then if you rent it out and it generates income, I mean, that's actually a much better list than what I was expecting.
That's why I brought it up, because I was so impressed. These answers are excellent, and they're much more optimistic than I would have thought. Malcolm Forbes always said many, 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 many years ago, that if it depreciates, lease it. If it appreciates, buy it. And the vacation home, if you know what you're doing at all and can afford it, that sometimes can pay off big time.
You know what's really changed my view of vacation homes is Airbnb.
Yeah,
when you can generate income off of an asset, it really becomes an investment rather than something you have to pour money into, which changes everything for me.
Yep. I think there's just a lot of ways to do it. But what we've seen, personally seen with our friends and clients, is that this is an absolute moneymaker.
Yeah, although I feel I have heard some stories that demand is coming down now that we're further removed from the pandemic.
Yeah,
it depends. Some markets are saturated, so it just depends.
And this is another one of those things that's confusing to us about the economy. Travel is just extraordinarily
booming.
So anyway, congratulations, America, and America's advisors who can help you with that. Okay, what's a number between 2 and 4?
3.
Yeah, got it.
All right.
See you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.